Meet Attentive, the personalized text messaging solution trusted by innovative brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. Visit attentivemobile.com to learn how to make SMS your next top revenue channel.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, April 21st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. In the pandemic, parents have relied on online gaming platforms like Roblox to keep young kids busy so that they can focus on work or school or just finding one quiet moment to themselves. But some children have been running into inappropriate sexual content on Roblox, leading some people to push for clearer parental controls. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon will join us with more after these headlines. A new iPad Pro, a redesigned iMac, paid subscriptions in the podcast app, wireless tags to help you track your gadgets, and a new season of Ted Lasso on Apple TV. These are just some of the new products that Apple announced at its first virtual event of the year yesterday. We asked our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen for the big takeaways.
The two biggest product launches, I think, are the new iPad Pro and the Mac. What they share are a new chip, the M1. The M1 is a low energy consumption, high performance chip that also allows apps from the iOS ecosystem to run on the Mac. And so what's interesting about both the iPad Pro and the iMac sharing essentially the same powerful chip is that developers are a little bit more incentivized to design their apps for M1 so they can also work on the iMac. So clearly, Apple is focused on synergy between its mobile devices and its Mac ecosystem.
The owner of the Daily Mail filed an antitrust lawsuit against Google, alleging that the tech giant manipulates search results and advertising auctions in ways that harm online publishers. Here's our reporter Patience Hagen with more.
The Daily Mail cites a number of specific incidents from its own experience. They point to a period in 2019 when, due to the way their ad selling was configured, they weren't selling all that many ads through Google's ad marketplace. And they say that they were essentially punished with low rankings in Google search results while they had that policy in place.
A spokeswoman for Google denied the allegations in the suit and said that the use of the company's ad tech tools has no bearing on how a publisher's website ranks in Google search. And we report exclusively that the chat startup Discord has walked away from deal talks with potential suitors, including Microsoft, which had been in advanced discussions to acquire Discord for at least $10 billion. Instead, people familiar with the matter say that Discord will resume interest in a potential initial public offering down the line. All right, coming up after the break, what parents can do to keep their kids safe from inappropriate content on Roblox and what the company is doing to address it. That's next.
How do the most innovative companies reach mobile consumers? Meet Attentive, a personalized text messaging solution trusted by innovative brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. On average, Attentive customers see 25 times ROI and 18.5% of online revenue driven by SMS. Ready for SMS to become one of your top revenue channels? Learn how to get started with your free trial by requesting a demo at attentivemobile.com.
Over the course of the pandemic, many working families have turned to online games to help keep kids entertained and connected. One platform, Roblox, has grown to nearly 33 million daily users, more than half of whom are under 13 years old. But within Roblox, there are some dark corners. In some games, kids are being exposed to inappropriate and sexual content. And now, Roblox is working on ways to address the problem. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon joins me now with more on this. Hey, Julie, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So for people who might not be familiar, what is Roblox and how have we seen it grow during the pandemic?
So Roblox is a little unusual in that it is not just one video game. It is actually tens of millions of games that have been developed by users and posted on the Roblox platform. And it's become really popular during the pandemic. Their growth has just exploded with so many kids at home not having much to do. It's a multiplayer online game, so kids can play with their friends and communicate with them through the chat function in the game. So it's been a way for kids to be entertained and stay connected with their friends.
And among that young audience, you report that there have been some instances of inappropriate content. What have we been seeing?
So there are some games that are not considered by Roblox to be appropriate for kids. And in those games, the avatars can simulate sex with each other. They can engage in a lot of kind of sexual talk. And another popular thing that I've noticed is that the avatars will date other avatars. So it's sort of an experimental playground, if you will, for kids and teenagers and older people, even to kind of experiment in a supposedly sort of, you know, safe space of a video game.
And I guess the big question is, how does this happen? What rules and tools does Roblox have in place to moderate this kind of content?
So Roblox does employ a lot of human beings to moderate content. The issue seems to be that kids can stumble into these games because even if they create an account and they indicate that they're under the age of 13, the algorithm shows the most popular games. So some of these games that are not age appropriate can still show up in their recommended for you list. So when a child logs onto Roblox and they see the games that they could enter, some of the most popular ones also happen to be some of the ones where some of the sexual explicit content is found. And so there's nothing that prevents a child from seeing that and entering those games. And I think one of the, you know, one of the main issues here is that it's hard in the game to find where the parental controls are. There are ways to limit what children encounter in the game by going into the settings and restricting the account so that games that are not appropriate for kids under 13 don't show up. But a lot of parents find it difficult to figure out where to find those settings in the first place and exactly what settings they need to enact to protect their kids from running into that kind of stuff. And so some parents that I talked to said that they didn't realize that their kids were entering some of these games where some of this stuff was happening. One parent who actually had read up on the company's guide for parents and put in all the right restrictions, he still was surprised when one day his son came to him and showed him something in Roblox. He had encountered a role-playing game where there was an actual photo and it was showing a woman wearing a thong and she had scratch marks on her bottom. So he decided to look into this particular game and he saw a lot of things that he felt were disturbing. There was on one screen, there was the word sex scrawled three times across the top of it. There was just some other graphic sexual content that he found in the game. And he also could hear music from the game with explicit lyrics, racist lyrics playing. And that really concerned him.
How has Roblox responded to all this?
They told me that they're going to look into this one particular father's experience. He mentioned that he had tried to report this to Roblox in the past and didn't hear back from them. So they said they will be investigating what he said his son experienced. They told me that, you know, this platform was designed for kids and teens and that they have a responsibility to make sure their players can play safely and create games that are safe. And they've also told me that they are hoping to make the parental controls more intuitive, easier to find, and easier to use.
And I understand they're actually working on some other solutions as well, right?
They are in the process of developing content ratings for their games, much in the same way that most video games you see now have an overall content rating. So parents can determine if a game, you know, has sexually explicit content or violence or other things that they might not want their children to encounter in a game. And so the millions of Roblox games on their system right now don't have any ratings, and you don't really know what a game really is all about until you play it. So they haven't issued a time frame for when they plan to roll out these content ratings, but the idea is that we'll help inform parents and give them more of a sense of what the individual games in the platform entail and what their kids might find on there.
So, Julie, since you are our family and tech columnist, I do want to ask for a little news you can use. For parents whose kids spend time on Roblox or on other digital platforms for that matter, What action can they take to make sure that that experience is as safe as possible?
It is a good idea to institute the parental controls because they are there and they are, you know, they are pretty good. So for example, in Roblox, if you go into the settings section and then you go into security, you can put it in this restricted mode where only the games that Roblox has considered to be safe and appropriate for kids under the age of 13 will show up for them. And then you can also institute a PIN, a four-digit, you know, number that must be provided before changing any settings. That way, your child can't undo the parental controls you just instituted, because they will do that. So having a PIN is a really great way to kind of lock things down. So I think the combination of using technology, whether it's in Roblox or in other games or, you know, social media, combined with talking to your kids is the best approach. I mean, I just don't think you can rely entirely on parental controls to do the job for you, but it's a tool to kind of keep some things at bay while also talking to your kids about what they might experience in the real world and how to respond to things that they see that make them feel uncomfortable. You can also kind of help empower them to take it upon themselves, depending on their age and their maturity level, to block players in games if they don't like the way another player is playing, or to report inappropriate content through the platform that they're using, whether it's social media or a video game. All of these tools are not just parental controls, but they're tools that the kids themselves can use. And it helps them feel, I guess, more empowered if they can choose to use those as well to protect themselves.
And just taking a step back here, you know, this story highlights a particular challenge of the past year. Without access to childcare or other entertainment options, you know, online games like Roblox have been a real godsend for working parents. But it seems like there are some real questions about the sort of trade-offs to that. Is there a takeaway from this story and from our experience this last year?
I think what this tells us about the last year is that we really are in a digital age and there's no getting away from it. You know, it's not even possible to take away devices anymore. I think what the last year has shown us, with so many kids doing remote school or a hybrid model of school, they are increasingly reliant on technology, and that's not going to go away. So the sooner we can reconcile our feelings about that and not just think that we can take the tech away when there's a problem, but try to be more proactive and get out ahead of the problems that kids might encounter online, we will be able to better equip them to handle the things that they're going to have to face at some point.
All right. That's our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.